Acts chapter 5 and verse number 40, the Bible says, and to him they agreed, Acts 5 and verse 40, there are a bunch of pages turning. And to him they agreed, and when they had called the apostles and beaten them. So what have you been through lately? Somebody didn't take a tract from you? Somebody slammed a door in your face? Someone said something rude at church? And beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus. And they let them go. And they, speaking of the apostles who had just been beaten, departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And I got to admit to you, there have been times over the last 23 years where, I mean, I don't really get my feelings hurt, but there have been times where, you know, it's been a real letdown the way people talk to you or the way people act or the way they treat you, you know, after you poured your life out to them. We've never been through this. Go read about the dark ages before you complain, because we're in the Laodicean day. We're in the day where it's like, it was too hot in there all night long. It was too cold in that auditorium all night long. Wah. Okay? They beat them for doing what we did yesterday. And they left there rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer for his name. And I like verse 42. And daily in the temple and in every house, not just in church, but door to door, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Just want to preach on that for a little while tonight, just a few minutes. Let's talk about Jesus. Lord, would you bless the challenge tonight? Bless our church this year. Not just the work here, the ministry here, but the families in our church that are so faithful. And they want to raise their kids according to the Bible. And they want to have a God-honoring marriage. They want their careers to certainly provide for their family, but they want to glorify you with their giving. And Lord, we want everything to be done to your honor and your glory. So, God, I pray that you'll bless those that are faithful in our church this year. And I pray, Lord, that you'll pour out something on their life that maybe they're praying for, or something that they didn't even expect. And just you already show your goodness so much to us. But, Lord, help us this year to be even better at telling people about Jesus. Bless this challenge, I pray tonight. We'll ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. The songwriter wrote the song, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something about that name. There's so many songs that have been written about that name, Jesus. The word Jesus, the name Jesus, means Savior. I took the songbook, and it didn't take me long to run out of space, really, to write different titles of songs that I found specifically about Jesus, that many of these songs we sing out of our songbook. A wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord, a wonderful Savior to me. All hail the power of Jesus' name. All that thrills my soul is Jesus. Blessed Assurance, Brother Sexton's favorite song. Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. First funeral I ever did, Brother T.J. Boyd, that was his favorite song also. Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. How about that song, Christ is all I need. Christ is all I need. How about the song? Many of these are like camp songs. Every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. There are lots of them. Face to face with Christ my Savior. Face to face, what will that be? What about this? Take the world, but give me Jesus. That's what some people in here need to say tonight. Take the world, but give me Jesus. I mean, quit riding the fence. Quit always talking about, well, I just don't have those same standards. Why don't you just give your whole life to God and see what God will do in your life? Take the world and the worldliness, but give me Jesus. What about that song, Jesus Never Fails? How about this? I love the song, Hallelujah, What a Savior. We just sang the song a moment ago, I believe, Jesus and Me. And now it's Jesus and Me for each tomorrow, for every heartache and every sorrow. What about this? Jesus is the sweetest name I know, and He's just the same as His lovely name. Hey, the kids would know the song from little kids assembly, and Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. What about this song? Happiness is to know the Savior, living a life within His favor. Yeah, it's a good song. How about Christ receiveth sinful men? Well, that ought to mean a lot to you, because you and I were sinners in need of salvation. How about the song? I think we sang it this morning. Oh, how I love Jesus. What about the song, stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross? And the list goes on and on. It's amazing how the devil fights against the name, not the name of God. Many people will say God on the news, or they'll say God in sports, but there's something about the name Jesus that the devil fights against. He did it then. He does it in our day and age. He's always fought against that name Jesus. Look at Acts chapter number 4. Look how specific their demands are. Acts chapter number 4. And the early church here and the battles they had were just trying to get the truth of the gospel out. Acts chapter 4 and verse number 10. Peter, I believe it's Peter here without finding, but I believe it's Peter. Yes, there he is in verse number 8. Peter filled with the Holy Ghost. But verse number 10, Peter's preaching. He says, "Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by Him doth this man stand here before you whole." I love this passage because this is just a few weeks after the Apostle Peter denied Christ and cowered down. And the same people, he said, "I don't know him. I'm not a part of that group." The same people here now, maybe about 7 weeks later, he's standing up in their face and saying, "You crucified." That tells me anybody can get over that line where you quit worrying about what the world thinks, and you quit going both ways, and you say, "You know what? I'm just going to live for God." And so, man, he's giving it to him. He's saying, "You crucified him." And it says here in verse number 10, "Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by Him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. That neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." You and I understand that. I don't think a lot of people in the world understand that. Just saying I believe in God is not going to get anyone to heaven. Jesus said, "You believe in God, believe also in Me." All right, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You believe there's one God? Great. The devils also believe and tremble. It's that name of Jesus whereby we must be saved. So verse 13, "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, 'What shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it.'" Now notice what they do. "But that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them, that they speak henceforth to no man," here it is, "in this name." And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. And boy, Peter, he said, okay. He didn't say that, did he? "But Peter and John answered and said unto them, 'Whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard.'" Okay, so they wanted to shut that name out of society. They're still doing it today. Look at chapter 5 there in verse number 27. Chapter 5 and verse number 27. It's kind of backing up where our text was in verse 40. But let's see what happened. Chapter 5, verse 27. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council. And the high priest asked them, saying, did not we straitly command you that you should not teach in this name? There it is. Behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine. All right, they were getting the gospel out. Verse 29, then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses of these things. And so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. When they heard that, they were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay them. And then stood there up one in the council, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a doctor of the law, had in reputation among all the people, and commanded to put the apostles forth a little space. Okay, so these are Pharisees. They do not believe that Jesus is the Messiah. He says, guys, let's get the apostles out of the room. Let's talk for a minute. And he said unto them, verse 35, ye men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what ye intend to do as touching these men. For before these days rose up Thutas, boasting himself to be somebody, to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves, who was slain, and all as many as obeyed him were scattered and brought to nothing. Okay, it was a false prophet, and Gamaliel says, you know, they followed him, but it didn't last. After this man rose up Judas of Galilee in the days of the taxing and drew away much people after him. He also perished, and all, even as many as obeyed him, were dispersed. And now I say unto you, refrain from these men and let them alone, for if this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to naught. It's going to come to nothing. But if it be of God, you cannot overthrow it, lest haply you be found even to fight against God. And aren't you glad that although that fellow there, he says that fellow came and he got 400 followers and he died and they all scattered. Aren't you glad that 2,000 years later, the name of Jesus is still being preached and still being proclaimed, and Christ is still risen and he is still coming again? And no matter what they, I mean, boiling Christians in oil. Folks, listen, we still, I know it's getting ugly in our nation, but we still have freedom. Did you see the headline? Was it Nigeria? I should have printed it, but Nigeria or somewhere where they killed 100 Christians this weekend just for sport. Just for sport. All right, so he says, be careful. So that's the background story. And so verse 40, to him they agreed. When they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus, and they let them go. And of course, they ceased not, as we read just a moment ago. Now, we know why the devil fights so hard against the name, the specific name, Jesus. It's because there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Look at chapter 2 in Acts. I want to run through some verses here just quickly to just reinforce this truth. But we're not going to look in the context of each passage, but it all comes back to Jesus, okay? So Acts chapter 2, and I'm going to move a little quick, so if you don't want to keep up, that's fine. Just listen to it. But Acts chapter 2 and verse number 21, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Let me pause and say this. This is after Christ went back to heaven, and this is the early church, and guess what? We're still supposed to be doing what the early churches were doing, which is preaching Jesus. And I want you to see that through the book of Acts. Acts chapter 2 and verse number 38. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And of course, he's not saying be baptized in order to get remission of sins. He's saying to be baptized because of the remission of sins, for the remission of sins, just like you jump for joy. I don't jump up and down until I'm happy. If I jump up and down for long, I won't be happy. I'll be tired. But I jump because I'm happy, you know. And so that's why you're baptized, for the remission of sins, or because you got born again. Just want to clarify that with anyone that may have that question over that verse. Acts chapter 3, verse number 6. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none. The Baptist theme, right? But such as I have, give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. We don't all have the same amount of money in the bank. We don't all have the same educational level. But we all have Jesus, and we can all pick up a free gospel tract, and we can all tell somebody what we can give them, what we can give them. Chapter 3 and verse 16. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong. Chapter 4 and verse number 10. Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. Chapter 8. Now turn to chapter number 8. Give you a second. It's a couple of pages, but chapter number 8. Look at verse number 12. The message of the gospel has never changed. For all the way back to the Garden of Eden, all the way back to Adam and Eve, and in our day, salvation has always been the same. Salvation is by grace through faith, not by works. Okay, so Acts chapter 8 and verse number 12. But when they believed Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women, okay? They got saved, then they got baptized. They got saved by believing in the name of Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 9, as Paul got saved, and God called him into the ministry in Acts chapter 9 and verse 14. And here, and God's speaking to Ananias about going and helping Paul. And here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. This is Ananias saying, Lord, you're making a mistake here. You're about to send me to go see this guy that wants to kill me. And but the Lord said in verse 15, unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and children of Israel, for I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Chapter 9 and verse number 21. But all that heard him were amazed and said, is not this he that destroyed them which called on this name in Jerusalem and came hither for that intent that he might bring them bound unto the chief priests? They're saying, man, he used to be the one that would kill us for preaching Jesus, and now here he is preaching Jesus. That's what the gospel can do in someone's life. Just a couple more here. Chapter 10. And verse number 43. If you want to know the church age, our day to day, once the word of God was completely given, if you want to know the pattern for being born again, being baptized, receiving the Holy Ghost of God the moment that you're born again, it's Acts chapter number 10 and verse number 43. To him give all the prophets, witness that through his name, let's talk about Jesus, through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. And here's that pattern. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. Well, what happens when you hear the word? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So they trusted the preaching that was being done. They trusted Christ as their Savior. The Spirit of God indwelt them immediately, and they of the circumcision, the Jews couldn't believe the Gentiles were being saved. They of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. And then answered Peter, can any forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of our Lord Jesus. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. For those of you few in here that just got hung up on the whole tongues thing because you just can't get what the Bible actually teaches, folks, remember, they did not have a completed word of God. We can go to Romans chapter 8. We can go to Ephesians chapter 1. We can go to several places and know that the moment we believe, we got indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. And these Jews are saying, we don't know if they got it or not. So God lets those Gentiles speak another language to prove, wow, they did get filled with the Holy Spirit of God. We don't need those signs anymore. You and I, let me read one more here, chapter 15. Chapter 15. And look at verse number 25. Chapter 15 and verse number 25. I love the Bible. I love to read the Bible. I love to study the Bible. And I'm not a big reader. If you hand me any other kind of book, it takes me forever to read that book. I like Mike Ray books because it's like a paragraph. Then you flip the page and it's a paragraph. My ADD, ADHD, high definition, all that kicks in. And I'm like, man, I'm bored with this one already, okay? I'm just not much of a reader. But I like to read things that appeal to me. So I'll read subjects about hunting, or I'll read subjects about, you know, whatever. But I love the Bible. I love to study the Bible. Had a fellow the other day at First Monday, and he's a kind fellow. Really is a nice fellow. But I was helping him with a booth, and he's kind of mixed into what all we do there. And he's kind of I don't know what he's he's born again, but I don't know what kind of charismatic part of movement he's in or whatever, but he's like, so you're a pastor, huh? And I said, yes. And so we got to talking, and man, he started throwing some verses out at me. And every time he did, I had a response for him. And finally it got to a point, we weren't arguing. He was trying to teach me the Bible. And so I kept saying, yeah, because the Bible says this. Finally he just said, man, I better get back to selling here. I'm like, yeah, hey, it pays to know your Bible. And don't let folks push you around scripturally, okay? So it says here in chapter 15 and verse number 25, it seemed good unto us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men unto you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, men that have hazarded their lives for what? For the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. You and I have never hazarded our lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. The closest we've gotten is on a bus route and some dog gets after us. Amen, Brother Greg, you've been bitten before. Yeah, so that's pretty close. Or if you are in the parking lot at Bucky's trying to pass out tracks, you come very close to hazarding your life with the drivers today and that crazy. But none of us have ever, when we leave here and go out knocking doors, you know, we're concerned with how people are going to treat us or whatever, but we're pretty much, I mean, there may come a time where some shotgun blast, there you go to some houses and you wonder, you step back from the door because you wonder if a shotgun blast can come out that door sometime with the craziness, but we have not even come close to what they were experiencing there in the New Testament, the Old Testament, even the years in between. Now, we know that the world needs Jesus in order to be saved, right? For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Romans 10 and verse number 13. The Bible says in Romans 15 and verse number 20. Listen to this. Romans 15 and verse number 20. Yea, so I have strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation. But as it is written, to whom he was not spoken of, they shall see, and they that have not heard shall understand. I love that verse. I've strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation. I remember being in Bible college. This was in 1996, and I had just kind of started there, had been away, of course, a secular college, 6 years of college in a row, man. That's no fun at all to get out of 12 years of grade school, plus pre-K back then, so 13 years there, 6 years of college in a row, and no fun at all. But remember Brother Jerry Moore, my dad's friend, and he's in heaven now, but Brother Jerry Moore teaching my mission. I thought at this time of night all your kids would be asleep, and they're all wild tonight. I'm watching all of them, but I remember him teaching my missions class, and he read that verse there. And I'm sure he was showing me favoritism, but he said this. He said he was an Okie. And he said, now I tell you what, Brother Jeremy, now he would have the right to pastor his dad's church one day. Now this is 4 years before the idea got brought up a month before my dad resigned. And I've told you before, I never even thought about pastoring this church. And old Brother Jerry Moore told all the Bible college, he's like, now Brother Jeremy, because he was there when that church started and he was there when they were planting that church. He was there as a little boy passing out those tracts. He said, so that's his foundation as much as it is his dad to build upon. I was like, yeah. So I didn't get it for another 4 years, and thank the Lord for that. But the Bible says that we're to go where Christ was not named. It used to be you could say that, man, America's just saturated with the gospel. I don't know that it is anymore. Man, look around. We live in a pagan society. godless society, do what I want society. So I want some of our focus this year to be on some church planting, supporting, and I've got some things in my mind for the missions conference. But I think America has become a mission field. I mean, you know, all the people on the other fields are coming to this country anyways right now, and so man, we need more preachers. But more than that, we just need people willing to be a witness for Jesus Christ. Our responsibility is, while we're busy with our everyday lives, and you look at the church calendar, and then you look at your own calendar, and you're like, man, it's going to be a busy year. I would say to you, don't pout about that, man. Get excited about what you get to do and the things you get to do. And yes, we get tired. I'm at the tired point now that I get. If I don't have a vacation within about 4 months, I need a break. And it's going to be about 7 months before we do it this time. But man, I get excited about what we're able to do in life. But while we're busy about our everyday lives, let's not forget to talk about Jesus. Okay, let's... So that's the idea this year. Let's talk about Jesus more than we talk about politics. God's going to take care of that. I'm for voting. Go vote. But I don't care if it's Biden, Trump. I don't want to sit around and talk about it anymore. I don't even like to listen to the shows where everybody, but I've never been a fan of sports shows either, where everyone's second guessing everyone. How would you like to be in leadership and have a whole committee of people that did nothing, sit around for 3 hours and discuss what you did and how and why and whatever? So I've never been big on that, but I want our church to stay focused on, okay? Some of you rednecks with your Donald Trump flags and all that stuff, let's talk about Jesus more than politics. Let's talk about Jesus more than the economy. It doesn't mean we can't have a conversation. We all get it. But the Bible still says, I've been young and now I'm old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Why spend all that time at work talking about politics and the economy, and you never say a word about Jesus being the hope for all of this? Let's talk about Jesus more than we talk about sports. And I'm for it. And I don't just say that because the Aggies have had another terrible season. I say it because your sports team is not going to keep people out of hell. But Jesus is. And I'm for it. Let's talk about sports. Let's have a good time. I enjoy some of that talk. Let's talk about Jesus more than we talk about our hobbies. Oh man, look, I got this new bow. I got this new gun. I got this new car. I got this new boat. Man, hey, that's great. That's wonderful. Let's talk about Jesus. Let's talk about Jesus more than we talk about our jobs. But I'm doing this and I'm busy with that. And we get so interested in it. And men, you ought to love work. God put us here to work before he gave Adam a wife and a family. But let's talk about Jesus. Let's talk about Jesus more than our kids, more than our grandkids. Hey, let's talk about Jesus more than ourself. Selfish world we're living in. Let's talk about Jesus with our tongue, all right? Let's actually say it. Acts 5:42, daily in the temple and in every house, they cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Not only let's talk about Jesus with our tongue, let's talk about Jesus with our life. And I'm not talking about lifestyle evangelism. I'm not talking about people just falling at our feet and saying, oh, what must I do to be saved? Tell me how to be saved. But I tell you what, in Acts 4:13, they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And we're not going to be able to talk to folks about Jesus at work if we have a sorry attitude and we're showing up late all the time. Amen. Someone said it this way, your walk talks and your talk talks, but your walk talks louder than your talk talks. So yeah, let's talk about Jesus with our tongue. But let's talk about Jesus with our life. How many opportunities this year is God going to give you to get into a conversation with someone at work or someone at school or someone in the family, and they're having a down time, and there's that moment right there where you can tell them about how good it is to be a Christian, and you let it go and just say, yeah, it stinks right now. And you had that opportunity. Let's talk about Jesus with our tongue. Let's talk about Jesus with our life. Let's talk about Jesus with our actions and our reactions and our attitudes. And without going there, may I remind you of Acts chapter 16, when Paul and Silas, again, more people preaching the gospel, who got beat half to death for doing so, thrust into the prison, and at midnight they prayed and sang praises to God, and the prisoners heard them. And I believe every prisoner in that prison got saved. Because when the jailer came looking for him, Paul said, do thyself no harm. We are all here. I don't think some lost people are going to hang out in that jail whenever they see that door open. I think they're gone. And you know the story. The jailer got saved. His family got saved and baptized that night. So I don't think they would have wanted Paul and Silas as Jesus if they got in there and started acting just like all the other people and yelling and just being mad, being angry. Let me just give you, just by way of ending here, let me give you a list of just practical ways in our church that we can talk, that we can get involved in talking about Jesus this year. Let's talk about Jesus at church, okay? I don't want to preach all these, but let's talk about him at church. What does that mean? Well, we certainly can talk about the goodness of God in the hallway. We can talk about answered prayer. We can talk about it in praise report time. When Brother Richard gets up and says, let's sing, man, that ain't time just be cool, Daddy. That's time to get up and sing. Praises to the Savior that saved you. Let's talk about Jesus at work. We just talked about that. Let's talk about Jesus at school. Let's talk about Jesus in the neighborhood. We have our neighbors that live behind us that built a house, and y'all know that whole fiasco all these years, and they finally built a beautiful house, and so the wife, I had already met the husband. We've had conversations as he's been building his house and trying to build a good relationship with them and come to some agreements. And today the wife, or he texted me and he said, hey, my wife and my grandson would like to come see your puppies. And they had seen them on the fence line there. So they came over and we got to meet the wife and the grandson and then their daughter and I guess her husband, and they were there. So the daughter said, so you're a pastor. I'd already gotten dressed up because I said, they already think we're a bunch of rednecks. So I said, I'm going to go and put my suit on. And that way the neighbors know, man, hey, I am a redneck, yes. And she said, now you're a pastor, right? So we got talking about that. She's like, I think we want to come to your church one day. She said, now I don't know if mom and dad will come. That's the couple that own it. I don't know if they'll come. But she said, he and I think we'll come one day when we're in town. It's kind of a weekend home. And I said, well, let me go get this brochure for you. And I gave it to her and I showed her the truck. I said, that's my younger days, that picture right there. And I noticed as we're talking about the dog, I noticed a fellow over there and he's reading the gospel. Okay, so if you're like us with neighbors, I mean, we kind of keep to ourselves. We just, everybody does their own thing. Every once in a while you cross paths and they know that we've lived there for like 25 years. So they know we're watching out for one another to a certain extent. But hey, let's talk about Jesus in the neighborhood. Let's talk about Jesus online. Could we not tonight, before we dismiss here in a few minutes, just say, God, with your help, I'm not going to put anything online this year that doesn't glorify you. Amen. Nothing. Yeah. Nothing, period. No statement. No worldly music to back up your videos. I'm not talking about ungodly music. You may like the hairdo. You may like the hairdo, but they're in ungodly outfits. Don't put that online. Or you may like the godly outfit, but if you can tell there's a bunch of worldliness. Everything we put online, we're saying, I agree with all of that. Folks, we need to start thinking. And I'm so tired of God's people acting like God's dead. Man, we serve a God that's alive, and if the world's going to want what we have, they've got to be able, they got to want to ask us a reason for the hope that is in us. Why don't we just set some boundaries? You say, preacher, what's your boundaries? To get offline? That's it. I know 99.9% of the time I'm just laid back, sweet spirited. But I couldn't handle it. I couldn't handle being lectured by evangelists who don't know what it's like to pastor and preach their few messages a year, and guys are putting messages together all week, every week, and there are just some guys on there that would get on there and show us pictures of their calendar, and it's like 3 hours study for my Bible college class, 4 hours study for Sunday. I was like, man, I wish that's all I had to do all day long. And it just my feistiness, y'all know it's there, my feistiness, I just, it was like, I can't do this anymore, and just the stuff. It quit being fun, right? It quit being fun. But you know what? We could say, you know what? Whatever I do put on there, I'm going to make sure it glorifies God. Let's talk about Jesus through the bus ministry. Brother Trent just said it. The bus ministry has kind of come alive this year a little bit. So I think it's showing us God's not done with it. But you know what? There could be some other people getting involved in the bus ministry, van ministry. We've got the money. We're just looking for the vans. And when that happens, I mean, there's opportunity there. Let's talk about Jesus in Sunday school. Let's talk about Jesus when it's All In Saturday. Let's show up to All In Saturday. Let's show up to tract distribution. Let's talk about Jesus on our own. Be a witness for Christ. Grab those tracts out there. We talk about Jesus with the Every Door Direct mail cards. I like it. When I'm in those parking lots yesterday and passing out those tracts, and I'm thinking, man, you know what? In one day's time, we're going to send out 25,000 gospel cards. Now, if a family is 3.3, so if average family is three people, and I know this is really, really thinking much, but if everyone in that house read it, had a chance to read that, that's 75,000 witnesses of Jesus Christ. I think that's a big deal. Amen. And we could do that because people give to missions, which is, that's part of our missions budget, is at Every Door Direct Mail. Let's talk about Jesus with our missions giving. We're coming up on our missions conference and Faith Promise Commitment. And there's your chance right there to get involved. This last year, I have the final numbers. This last year, our Faith Promise Missions, our church gave $118,928 to Faith Promise Missions. Were you involved in that? You young people, you kids that give 50 cents, give a dollar, it matters. It all matters. Let's bump that up some more this year. Why not? We complain about the economy. Looks like God's doing okay. His people want to be faithful. We gave $42,000 to the bus ministry. That's a Faith Promise Commitment. Those two commitments of nearly $161,000. That's grace giving over and above our tithes. That's not even mentioning the building fund, the Vision Unlimited. It's a 10% overall increase from the year before. What a blessing that is. You ask my parents, because being in evangelism and now kind of partially retired from that, but there are good people like we try to do here with people that they'll still support them, even partially retired. But they've had churches this year, good people who have had to write a letter and say, we don't have any missions money. We cannot send. And other churches that just boggles my mind that will do one and then 6 months later they'll do something. And I think, I don't understand where we don't have the... I know churches where it's so much about their ministry and their buildings and their this, you don't even hardly hear anything about all these missionaries around the world in Faith Promise Missions. I have a lot of faults. I'll be the first one to tell you. My wife will be the second one, and my kids will be the third. My parents will be the fourth. Let's just all get in line tonight and tell my... I do have a lot of faults, and I know that, but I believe there's one thing we have as a church: balance. Balance. Be a spiritual people, but don't be a super spiritual giant that's better than everyone else, because we are sinners saved by grace. And we have a good missions program, but I believe we also have a good building program. And it's just, all of it is just balance. In everything that we do, somewhere, somehow, let's try to bring it back to talking about Jesus, because he's the only hope that the lost world, that the lost and dying world has. So that's our theme for the year. I want you to walk in every day and see that. Let's talk about Jesus. I want to sing about it every Sunday night. Let's talk about Jesus. I read that poem last Sunday on Christmas Eve that Mary, did you know? Made a lot of money off of that, but I know. Mary Had a Little Lamb. I really am not that much of a poet. I've probably written about 15 poems over the years. I did win our senior year in high school. The county paper had a poem contest, and at 12th grade, I won first place. Couldn't believe it, but hey. But because I was digging for that one, I knew I was preaching this, and I thought, oh, wait a minute, I wrote a poem about this. I wrote this poem back 13 and a half years ago. It's called In Jesus' Name. There is a name I love to hear, a name so dear to me. It is the name of Christ who died for sin on Calvary. It is the name by which I'm saved, the name by which I pray, the name in which I put my trust while walking through each day. His name is where I find my help, my strength for each tomorrow. The name of Jesus is so sweet when facing all life's sorrow. It is the name by which I serve with joy and consistency, and it is the name by which I'll bow for all eternity. Yes, it is a name I love to hear, but I'll speak it just the same so others may know of our Savior's love and call on Jesus' name. Let's talk about Jesus.